Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stu, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Stu, and you're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. I believe Mike will be joining us here in a moment, but you're listening to the first of our work from home editions. And Dalton's running the board for us this morning. I am sitting comfortably in my office in Sims, and I believe Mike is nestled down in his historic Detente Square apartment.
I would do it from the balcony, but the weather's just not cooperating right now.
It has been an exasperating day.
Do you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I hear you. Do you hear me?
I can hear you.
All righty. Well, did you have a good Easter, buddy? As good as could be.
It was okay. It was all right. You know, the day before we went and honored Randy, because Randy Brabner, he's one of my neighbors here in historic Detente Square. And we had a little parade, and Sean and them were there. And they had led a parade with the van. And but other than that, you know, Easter was okay, just by yourself, me and my cat, Jude.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had an idea. You know, we don't celebrate Easter on the actual Sunday that Jesus was to have risen. You know, there are a lot of factors that determine when Easter Sunday is, and very few of them are the actual day. So my thought was, since it's just an arbitrary Sunday, Easter Sunday this year is the first Sunday after we're allowed to go back out. Mm-hmm. Just celebrate it then.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like I say, it's an art. Yeah, and I think that way, it's a good way to bring the community back together. We can get out, see each other again. And I think it would be a wonderful experience. Truly a celebratory Sunday. I think that would be really cool.
A lot of my customer base is shut down. 85% of everybody I deal business with are restaurants and bars. And they're shut down, and I can't wait to see them. I can't wait to get around and see them, and I miss them.
At work the other night, I was talking with the owner, Chris Brill, at Sam's House of Pizza, and he said, "I am ready to see anyone but the same six people I work with every day."
I can understand that.
You know what? I kind of get that. And business for us is still going fine. You know, it's the difficulty of everything's to go, you know, and supply lines being what they are, sometimes we run out of certain product. And like a cool Chris said, man, we're the Sims House of Pizza. As long as we don't run out of pizza, we don't owe anyone an apology for running out of chicken nuggets or, you know, or ham sandwiches. We're the Sims House of Pizza. We've done a pretty good job of keeping most of the menu, but you know, like I say,
is the barbecue place out there open, or are they doing curbside?
Yeah, Brandon's doing his stuff too. He's got a drive-through window too that helps him immensely.
Yeah, you know, but you think about it, a lot of the pizza and barbecue places have been doing to go forever, and especially some of the hamburger places. Right. So what's, you know, other than not having people come in to sit down and eat, I was at one of my accounts yesterday in Foley. I had to make an emergency run over there, and they've already got their table set up when they can, you know, where they got them spaced apart. They're ready. And as soon as, when Gulf Shores kicks in opening the beaches, I guess Foley are following right behind them.
I should hope so. Now, yeah, there are a lot of people that are panicking because they're reopening beaches. Folks, that's a real simple cure. If you have a problem with that, don't go to the beach.
Don't go to the beach. Nobody's making you go to the beach.
Right. They should have never closed them. They should have never closed them, because as long as you stay more than 6 feet away from whoever else is at the beach, there's not a problem. It's not airborne.
Walmart,
we know that.
Depot and Lowe's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I drove by Walmart yesterday, and not Walmart, but Home Depot and Lowe's, and they had a line a mile long.
Well, yeah, they got their stimulus money now. People are buying things they couldn't afford.
That's not accomplishing anything, you know?
Quarantine. I'm still not convinced we should have shut anything down.
Everybody needs to practice good hand cleaning and obviously social distancing too.
And that's it.
After all this is over with.
Yeah. But you know, the three weeks ago, we didn't even have a law in place to generate the stimulus money. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't even a law in place. And then 3 weeks later, we got people getting paid.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the state of Alabama's had an unemployment department since the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had over a month now, and they haven't paid anyone unemployment. That isn't special money being allocated for this. The state of Alabama's supposed to have that money on hand at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's getting paid unemployment. I've heard a handful of people, and I did the numbers. They said the first week they paid $6 million in unemployment benefits. That sounds impressive, doesn't it? $6 million. Well, there's a quarter of a million people out of work in the state of Alabama alone. So basically they sent out $26 a person. That's what it comes down to. So my question is, what is KIV doing with the money? What is the state of Alabama doing with this money? Because it's not just the unemployment money that the state's required to have.
Already gotten their check.
I know of about 10.
Yeah.
But it's a month behind. It's a month behind. There's no
behind on their refunds anyway, their income tax refunds.
Yeah.
I never got paid for 2006. I never got my check for 2006. I wonder what the answer
is. That's on you, brother.
Huh?
Oh, they don't pay interest.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get it. So. Are your customers tipping well?
Yeah, but
are they tipping?
Oh yeah, they're tipping. I would venture to say that front of the house workers are working less hours now and making more money than they were before this. I know they're making at least as much money as they were, because everyone seems to be tipping here.
Tips, you know. All the outcry to support, you know, help support all these establishments, and I call them sympathy tips. But you know, they're not going to tip like that probably when we get back. They will for a while, maybe, but they'll go back to their normal tipping routine, I'm sure.
Right, the standard 20%, and you know, and we need to discuss that. The standard of 20% is not new. That changed in 1994 after an article by Playboy magazine, and they said because 1994 would be the last time the server minimum would ever be raised again. They said, and honestly, they said about every 5 years it should go up another 5%. Until they raise the minimum wage for servers. So the standard tip has not been 15% for, what is that now, 25, 30 years?
Somewhere now.
It's 20% and has been, it has been for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's something. And the percentage can go down if the hourly pay goes up.
Yeah.
And it's it is simply a miscarriage of justice that we have allowed there to even be a server minimum wage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shouldn't happen. But 343-0106 if you want to get in on the Callahan's Irish Social text line, although I don't think I can see any text messages. Dalton will have to read them to us. All night drinking wine, spurred you to drink wine, mop, mop, wine, spurred you to drink wine, mop, mop, wine, spurred you to drink wine, mop, mop, pass that bottle to me. Drinking wine, spurred you to drink wine, mop, mop, wine, spurred you to drink wine, mop, mop, wine, spurred you to drink wine, mop, mop, pass that bottle to me. Hoy, 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 wine.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Well, alrighty. Hey, Michael. I just noticed here, our buddy Carl Tilley. You remember Carl Tilley, right?
Oh, good old Carl.
Good old Carl. And for those who don't remember, Carl Tilley was the executive chef at Kitchen on George when it was winning best restaurant in Mobile every year. He was named best chef in Mobile. And he moved on to New Orleans because bigger and brighter horizons called. And then, you know, like Barry used to say, when mama calls, and mama called, he headed back up to Gadsden. So he's working up in the Gadsden area right now. He's working for an organization called Mercy Chefs. Now, this is just something he's doing during the shutdown. And what Mercy Chefs is an organization of chefs that go out and feed needy people restaurant quality food.
Mm-hmm.
Not two chicken nuggets and a pack of outdated pears like we saw in Baton Rouge after the floods a few years ago from a certain organization that certainly has the money to give people more than that. But I just shared a link on our Facebook page where people can donate.
Hello.
who needed the food and stuff. So if you're looking for somebody to help, hop over to our page and you can maybe donate a little bit of money to Mercy Chefs and help out a good friend of ours, Carl Tilley, as they try and help those people who don't have as much right now.
Yeah. There's probably a lot of unemployed servers, for sure, people in our industry that are not getting any money whatsoever from nowhere.
Yeah. Unemployment, so, whatever. Let me ask you. Whatever. Yep. Oh, yeah, because they in the state of Alabama, they're probably not getting their unemployment. A lot of people that I've talked to said that they're on the verge of just giving up with unemployment because the state's not doing anything. Now, you know, and I understand they're overwhelmed and everything, but sending half your employees. Yeah. But the main reason that the unemployment checks aren't going out is because our governor and our state government didn't have a system in place that they should have, that most other states seem to have. You know, Mississippi's had some problems in Louisiana, too, but pretty much everybody else, the first week was getting checks, which is what it was supposed to be. Yeah. It's what a letter from the governor said. You know, if you're in the restaurant industry, you've lost your job or lost hours because of this. Go on and apply now. There's no waiting period, anything. Well, that no waiting period is turned into 4 and 5 weeks for people, which is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. But they shouldn't have shut down the state, period. If you didn't have the money in place to pay these people for not having a job, you should have let them go to work.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. The curfew is ridiculous. Yeah, the curfew is terrible. Ridiculous. There's absolutely no reason for a curfew. None.
Yeah.
What purpose does that serve? People aren't congregating in hundreds in parking lots at 10:15 at night.
Yeah.
So there's been, I said it when this started, the economic impacts of this are far greater than the health impacts of it. And the numbers are panning out. And what we're looking at now with the numbers, and everyone knows that the death totals are being exaggerated.
Yeah.
You know, we've had healthcare workers, millions of them, come out and say, we're being told to write COVID-19 down as the cause of death, whether they're related to it at all. Come in a car accident, you put down COVID-19 caused it.
So right. And I've seen a lot of reports on that, and just about anything. They're saying COVID-19, and I'd like to see the numbers of people who are actually testing and are negative from COVID-19 that do not have it, that tested negative. I want to see those numbers. They only show the people
the numbers
died
that
and
are
the
testing
number
positive,
of people
are
died
not
and the number
impressive.
Of people that tested positive. And then I want to know how many people are cured, who have been through it and are gotten well and moving on, you know, from it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the number has been pretty steady on that since this started. 80% of the people who get it don't even go to the doctor, and in 2 days they're better. You know, it's just compromised immune systems that are having issues, and we have to care for those people. We do. I understand that. You know, but the reality of this is it is not living up to the numbers they predicted anywhere close, even with them padding the statistics a little. And that's going to come down to one of two things. People who hype this either have to admit we overhyped the common cold, or they're going to have to admit, my God, Donald Trump did a fantastic job managing this. Because that's it. That's either the liberal media overblew this, or the conservative president did a fantastic job handling it. Because right now, the World Health Organization has said no country's handled it better than America.
Yeah. You know,
and it's not even close.
It don't even have to be the liberal media. It's just the media in general, and they overblow everything. Look at the weather.
Oh yeah, because Fox does the same.
They've been talking
too,
about bad storms for a couple of weeks now. We hadn't had hardly a drop of rain here, and I just shudder to think how things are going to be when hurricane season gets here. And if they get a little wind out in the Gulf, they're going to overhype that, you know, and scare people to death, scare testing.
They always have.
Yeah,
that's why I say, man, you can't trust.
Prepare for it.
You can't trust any of the big national media outlets. Period.
Yeah, I don't.
They're
trust
not interested in reporting facts. That's why if I do go with something, I go with that One America News. They don't have experts. They don't have prognosticators. They read you a headline. They read all the facts that are known. They're off to the next story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then a great example is if there's a mass shooter, they'll come on and go, we're getting reports that there's a mass shooter in the Miami-Dade County area. When the police have a press release, we'll tell you more. And then they go on to the next story, and that's it. It's gone, as it should be.
They don't stop the whole day of news just for that one thing. And one of the local stations here, you know, I don't see anything important about why we need to see a car chase out in Los Angeles. You know, has nothing to do with us here. Why are we having to sit and watch a car chase out in Los Angeles or anywhere? Why aren't we watching our
good Lord, boy, this is NASCAR country, man. We would
everybody
be passing the cops and the person
here.
Running from them.
I guess ever since OJ.
Everybody tunes into a car chase here, and they go, why are they turning right?
Hey, Stu, let me tell you, I've already, because I've been eating at home a whole lot here, I mind you, I've already cleared out 2 shelves in my refrigerator just from food. I got to restock, man. This goes on much longer. I'm going to have to restock those 2 shelves.
Mike, there's absolutely no problem with going to the store.
No. Oh, I know.
We try and limit hours to once a week.
Going to the grocery store.
Yeah, we try and limit hours to once a week. You know, if we run out of something in that week, before we would go and buy it.
Yeah.
You know, one of us would stop on the way.
I just happened to be at the Walmart in Fairhope yesterday, and they are fully stocked. Yeah. Fully stocked, except for sanitary wipes and hand sanitizer and bleach. But everything else.
And you know.
Got the paper towel aisle and the toilet paper aisle. Fully stocked. And when I see Northern and Charmin on the shelf, I'm thinking, all right, they're back to normal, so to speak. But, you know, I've got a few groceries. And then I bought $1.41 a gallon gas. So I had a good day yesterday.
Gas prices aren't bad right now at all.
that has nothing to do with the coronavirus. So anyway, so
yeah. Well, yeah, because people aren't out on the road, and
it's great, you know, it's great having these cheap prices. Well, I was out in Sims last week, and it was $1.35, and it's great having all these prices, but you can't go anywhere. Can't go to the beach, can't go anywhere.
And see, that's another thing. There was no reason to close the beaches. There's no reason to close any outdoor facility. Sims closed a park that no one ever goes to. The park is empty 99.9% of the time, and they put barricades up and said it's closed because of COVID. And I'm like, there's no reason to close any outdoor facility. Just stay more than 6 feet away from people. They should have never closed boat ramps. I think it was Channel 5 got all upset because people were still going to the marinas in Orange Beach, launching their boat and going out to the Gulf. Well, who are they hurting if they're 5 miles off the coast? I'm telling you,
wow.
When this is over, there are a lot of elected people in this country on all levels that need to be immediately removed from office, and we need to start prosecution over this, because there's a lot of politicians getting rich off this right now.
If we're protesting all these protests and wanting to go, you know, have our freedom to move about, we ought to be protesting to have term limits for the Senate and the House. Term limits for everybody. Everybody.
And, you know, my brother brings up an interesting point on that. We already have term limits. Just don't vote for them again. 343-0106, folks. We'll be back.
What's this? This is juice. Uh-oh, uh-oh.
I don't like juice.
Chicken, ice cream, fish.
I like.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mike and Stu, that's us, Mike. We're back.
Hey, Stu.
I'm always Hubble. Michael.
David Hubble.
Asked
the question that Dalton told me that he wanted to know about the production of wine.
Did he contact us? Yeah, did he contact us on the Callahan's Irish Social Club text line?
It hadn't affected the purchases of the wine, that's for sure. Wine sales have been good. And where wine sales are hurting at is the bars and the restaurants. There's no purchases being made there, but people are going to the stores. They're going to the liquor store, I know for sure. I see them lined up out the door there as I wait in line. Now, the wine sales have been good for everybody off the shelves in the grocery store. So, but production, it shouldn't bother anything. It really shouldn't affect that, because that's in the great outdoors. That's outdoors, you know. And
so they don't need people to daily tend any of this, because there's no one in the vineyards.
There's no one.
California's not letting people go to work, remember? Yeah, since California's not letting people go to work, there's no one in there.
But they're out in the field. It's not harvest right now anyway. Harvest would be late August, September, and October is when harvest is. So right now, they're just now getting I keep up with it out there in the north of the hemisphere, and they're getting good little berries already forming on the vines right now. So they've got 3 months to grow before it's time to pick them.
Okay. Good. Because I know the meatpacking industry has said, y'all need to get ready to run out of meat soon. Because they can't run as many people in a plant.
Yeah, but they don't have that many people. Everything's automated. You don't have that many people in the plant anyway. I love what Mr. Edmonds has been doing up there at Perdido Vineyards. He's been making hand sanitizer. Lord knows he's got thousands of gallons of wine there that he can do something with, and he's doing it and making hand sanitizer. He's giving a lot of it away, and he's selling a lot of it.
Yeah, and he's providing it to the state too, I believe. So, in the healthcare industry. So, yeah. So that's Perdido Vineyards, folks. And if you haven't been up there, when we can go out and do things, you should go over to Perdido and take a look at the vineyard. It's a beautiful place.
That's a great
place. And historic, right, Mike?
Historic. Yeah, it's it was the first farm winery in the state of Alabama. It's got a historical mark out front. So that's great for our area, and great for him, great for Perdido, Alabama. And it ought to be a bigger tourist attraction than it is. I believe that's where the Beach Express is going to end up going to when it connects to I-65 is up there. So that'll cut out a lot
that
of
area.
People.
That sounds good. Maybe
that Mobile Fork going to the beach. I'm straight down and hit that thing. But
I'll be going Perdita. Going
but anyway.
Perdita to Perdita. That's what you could do.
My
hey,
life
man,
is boring right
have
now.
You
I got
been by Bob's Downtown Diner lately? Have you been by Bob's Downtown Diner lately?
There's nothing there. I've talked to Tony, and we chat every now and then. I chat with Roy too, and some other people, Richie Gambino, and just chatting with people. Hey, I got a chance. I finally went by Cotton State Barbecue and got a brisket sandwich. Man, it was really good. I just forget that place is there because it's not on the beaten path. It's off the beaten path. And I finally went by there and got some sandwich last week, and it was really good. I was surprised. I don't know what to expect, but it was really good. Can't wait to try the rib.
Yep. And let's talk, too, about our good friends at Hall Sausage and Wholesale Meats. That's the thing, restaurant owners, you need to know. If you're having trouble getting in any of your meat supply, call Deborah and the folks out at Hall Sausage and see if they can help you out. And that's local. They're the only USDA-approved meat house in Mobile County.
Yeah.
So, you know, hit those folks up. If you need some hamburger meat or some butts for pulled pork or something, just call them and see what they can do for you out at Hall Sausage in Chickasaw, because that's good people out there. Mike, I got a project for you, sir.
What's that?
Yeah, it's time, man. It is time for the quarantine wine pairings.
Okay.
You ready?
All right. Okay. I shall do my best.
Dish number one. Campbell's Chicken and Stars Soup.
Well, let's see. Campbell's right out of the can. Heated or cold?
Out of the can. You know, that's a personal preference.
I do a Chardonnay with it. Chardonnay. The acidic, you know how when you open a can, you
okay.
see that little...
Now the question. An oak,
that little grease, that little rim of grease around the edge.
An oak or steel cast?
That crispiness of the Chardonnay, that acidicness will cut right through that grease.
All right. Let's move on to number two.
Need a barrel, not a barrel fermented, not a oaky... buttery, but you need a steel cast, one aged in steel.
Cast? Steel cast. Yeah. You ready for dish number two?
Yeah. Come on.
Swanson's TV dinner, Salisbury steak.
Ooh, well, what's the vegetables?
Does it matter, man? You pair with the entree
beans,
or do you pair
beans.
With the side
sometimes
dish?
Sometimes it's got mashed potatoes and sometimes it's got red potatoes. Red skin potatoes. Let's see. Salisbury steak. Oh, I would do maybe a Pinot Noir. Yeah, that's about right. Pinot Noir with that.
Ooh,
you don't want to take away the flavor.
Oregon? Willamette Valley?
Huh?
All right, you ready for the last one?
Yeah.
I think you're going to like this last one. Dinty Moore beef stew. That's
hearty,
one of the finest meals out of a can you can eat.
Hearty, chunky.
As far as I know, they only have just Dinty Moore. You got beef. You got stew. Mm. I know that's in it.
I'd put a Washington State Merlot with it. A Washington State Merlot.
Ooh, nicely done.
Or Cabernet from Washington State, because they do a lot of things more Bordeaux-ish up there. They do it. In Washington State, they did a lot of their stuff Bordeaux-ish. That's like from Bordeaux. If you don't understand.
Right. Now, I'll tell you, Mike, One of my guilty pleasures is Dinty Moore beef stew.
Really?
But I don't want it microwaved. Really? I want it heated up in a pot on the stove, and I want to pour the whole thing over three or four pieces of toasted white bread. Because that bread will soak up all that grease that's on top of it, and it's almost like it's buttered with grease. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful breakfast?
Well, you know, that's what like Champies does with their fried chicken. They put their fried chicken on top of white bread to absorb the grease.
Yeah. And Neighbors does that with their fried seafood.
Do they?
But then you get to eat the bread. Yeah. It seems like I've had it out there. Maybe it may just be on to-go orders.
You know, I still have not done. I've been promising I am going to do it. I've been promising I'm going to do my Spam experiment and make foie gras out of Spam. So I need some pineapple, though.
You're really not.
Darn, I need to put that on my grocery list. Need some pineapple. In case the foie gras doesn't
turn. Is that for... now, you're familiar with the Hawaiian pizza, right?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Hawaiian pizza's got Canadian bacon and pineapple on it.
It has nothing to do with Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And then pineapple and then marinara sauce from Italy. And it's a terrible combination. There are some people out there, I don't know, they were hit by lightning as a kid or they ate paint chips and they like it. But it's gross. Here is...
All right, looks like we might have lost Stu for the moment being Mike. We'll wait for him to reconnect. But your thoughts on Hawaiian pizza?
I like it. Well, see, I just love pineapple on pizza anyway. And people say, it doesn't belong on pineapple. It doesn't belong on it. And Stu was reminding me of something with in the Mississippi Delta. They have fried chicken and spaghetti. They combine fried chicken and spaghetti. Over there.
Well, I don't hate that. Fried chicken, that's almost like a chicken parm, right?
I would say, yeah. And, of course, you know, they do chicken and waffles over there. And
I love that.
But, yeah, I'll tell you, I love it wherever I go. And it's on the menu. That's what I'm ordering.
I've been a Hawaiian pizza guy. I still am. So I'll have to get, and I think we might have Stu connected again. Stu, are you back with us now?
I'm sorry you grew up under power lines, Dalton, and it had an adverse effect on you.
Yeah.
There are lots of people who enjoy the Hawaiian
pizza. You there, Stu?
To me, it has always been a fit. Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It just said, hey, let's take a minute. Let's collect our thoughts, apparently.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you both, I don't like the flavor of Canadian bacon on pizza or regular ham. It's pizza. Put prosciutto on it. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Italian food, because, you know. But I say that, but man, a pizza that I have been known for years is my Mexican pizza, where I don't do it like, you know, the chain restaurants where, hey, throw some lettuce on top of it, call it a Mexican pizza. My sauce is chili with no beans. And then you're going to add some beef to that because you need more meat. You need more meat, man. It's Mexican pizza. And then all your usual vegetables. You got onions, tomatoes, if you like them, bell peppers. If you like them, black olives. I like them all. Yeah, combination of mozzarella and cheddar cheese. But here's the killer. Get a bag of tortilla chips, crush them up, and spread them across the top, and then put it in the oven. All right, 3430106, y'all.
Folks down in Georgia, they can't pick up their mind. You can give it to them sweet or spicy, and they'll say that tastes all right.
And you might think the South Carolinians are just a little bit off. Would you believe their barbecue's yellow with a mustard sauce?
Pork shoulder is the cut of choice in Mississippi. And they fried themselves on barbecue. That's totally vinegary.
In Louisiana, them Cajuns, they like to spice it up. They like to spice it up.
This is our review of barbecue in the Southern United States. And when my life is through, bury me in barbecue, but make sure it's vinegar based, 'cause you know that slows the game.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Well, we got one short segment, folks. In the end of it, we're going to play a very familiar song, but with different lyrics, by a group that we had played before several times, Home Free, the acapella country group.
Yeah.
That features a baritone singer, Adam Chance, from Bay Minette, Alabama. So.
Oh.
Bringing it back home. Dude, their album was number one in the country last year.
Wow.
Country charts.
I heard Charlie do a PSA about the turtles on the beaches and all that. You know, folks, they do open the beaches up, be mindful of the nesting season and the turtle nest. You know, they're struggling like it is, and people just. They walk over them, they kick them, and sometimes they don't even know they're there. But the people, the volunteers get out there early in the morning. They try to identify where the nests are and mark them off. But people just want to be careful with those little turtles and turtle nesting areas. Okay, and there's a wine out there called Turtle Wine, and if you buy it, every dollar they donate a dollar to Save the Beach. The turtle nesting on the beach. But David Hubble, or somebody called in or texted in and wanted to know what wine I would pair with the foie gras or my pate, my spam pate. And I'm going to do a red blend from California. It's got Cabernet, Cab Franc, Merlot, a little Petit Sirah in it. So that's what I'm going to put with it.
I'm going to tell you right now, Michael, what you're concocting, you need a nice, cheap Sutter Home White Zinfandel from what you're working on.
That's what I'll serve Charlie.
Well,
you know, Zinfandel,
Mike,
don't get enough credit. The red Zins, they're old vines.
Wonderful,
incredible wines.
Yeah, and it is known as the most American of wines.
Huh? Well.
So it's known as the most American of wines.
I mean, I just love Lodi has some of the best Ovine Zinfandel. If you go to Sonoma, they have a lot of untrellised vines that are 75, 95 years old that are they're freestanding. They don't have a trellis. That puts more stress on the roots and on the vines themselves, and makes that. Cause them to bring more minerality out of the ground, and they have to reach deeper and find all those characters in the ground to put it, you know, get it to the berry. So
yeah.
Anyway, hey, I did forget that we did. I went to Lou Ann's house last week, and we did. I smoked a turkey breast, and that was awesome. Turkey on Easter Sunday. Yeah, that was not a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Texas, when they evaluate barbecue restaurants, of course, the first thing they're going to judge them on is the beef, whether it be brisket in East Texas or clod, which is off the shoulder in West Texas. You know, naturally, we understand the beef, but the two other things they judge them on are their sausage and their smoked turkey breast. Huge in Texas. And I've gotten where I really enjoy smoke. I'd rather have smoked turkey than smoked chicken.
Have you ever been to Disney World?
Yeah, the last time I was there, Epcot was new. The last time I went to Disney World, Epcot was the new attraction.
Okay. Well, you know, you go to Frontiersland, and that's where you get them turkey legs at.
Yeah.
I've only got one turkey leg in my life there. After I got through with it, I was worn out, and I was tired. I needed a nap, and I have never bought another one.
Dude, you can buy those in three packs at the grocery store. And here's the great thing: anything you were gonna do, beans or collards or anything with a ham hock, If you're trying to keep the fat down, substitute the smoked turkey wings or turkey legs. It's going to taste just as good to you, but you're going to keep the fat and the cholesterol down.
Oh, my God.
It really is a great substitute.
The turkey bacon. Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
You ever put turkey bacon?
I'm okay with it as long as you don't call it bacon.
Huh? Yeah.
But I'm okay with it as long as you don't call it bacon.
I'll never talk to you.
But yeah, those smoked turkey legs and smoked turkey wings are phenomenal for doing beans and greens. They really are good. Just as good as ham. Yeah. And it'll, like I say, it'll keep the fat and cholesterol down, but you get the flavor.
Yeah. I see a lot of people been shooting turkeys lately, so this has been turkey season.
Yeah. Hey, Sean gets an extra gobbler and he wants to give it to me. I'll take it. I'll just say. And I will take all of the duck he doesn't want in his freezer as well. A friend of mine calls it flying pig.
We did
duck and lamb. We need to talk about meats other than chicken, pig, and cow.
Yeah.
Because that's what the majority of Americans eat. And I do not understand this concept of, oh, yeah, cow, that's wonderful. But lamb, that's disgusting. What is wrong with you? They're both four-legged animals, man. Eat them. Genesis, I believe it's 33:3. Jesus said, Jesus went around yet in Genesis. Said, I give to you all the creatures of the earth to eat. So let's eat up.
Except bat.
Yeah. Bat. Except bat. All right. It's winged rat, man. if you can figure out a meal for it, they.
They have a great.
They ate it in
I need some bats around my place so the mosquitoes are eating me alive.
Get you some indoor. That'll work. If you get 100% indoor, you won't have to worry about the mosquitoes out of doors.
Wow. I like outdoors though. My little balcony. Overlooking down.
All right. All right, folks, we're going to leave y'all with a little bit of Home Free. Everybody stay safe and provolone.
Provolone,
folks. For friendliness, it might be hard to find, but for now it's how we have to live.
How we have to live, oh.
Don't you try to second guess, 'cause you might just lose your mind. Instead, consider the alternative.
Quarantine
is such a long